Isn't he a good God? God, we are so thankful. We're so thankful for you. Guys, we've done this a few times before we pray. I want us to, I know we've read this, parts of the song before about how we're anointed, we're healed, we're called, and I want us to do it again because I think it's a great reminder for us to know that who we are in Christ. Because I think so many of us, we call ourselves broke, or we call ourselves sick, or we call ourselves this, or we call ourselves that. And rather than speaking what the world would have us speak, and speaking over our lives what the devil would want us to speak over our lives, and be ineffective believers, be ineffective Christians, why don't we speak what Jesus speaks over us? Why don't we speak the things that the Word of God tells us about ourselves, right? That makes more sense to me. So would you guys say this with me again and remind yourself of who you are in Christ? And not that you're sick or broke or whatever. You are called, you are healed, right? So let's speak this together. Would you read this with me? And speak it and know, and speak with authority too. So I am blessed. I am called, I am healed, I am whole, and I am saved in Jesus' name. I'm highly favored, anointed, filled with His power for the glory of Jesus' name. Amen? And I think if you're going through something ever, or you feel an attack come on you, speak His word over your life. Amen? Don't speak doubt and fear. Speak life. Only life that can come from Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this reminder once again, God, of who we are in you and what you've called us to be and what you've called us to do. Father, we love you and we just thank you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus for us. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to teach us as we live our life, as we shape our life after your word, and we go after you and all that you've called us to and all that you've promised us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a seat, guys. Thank you, music team. So we're still in our series called The Word. And by rights, we could almost call every series about the Word, because that's what we talk about, right? So welcome to Sunday Church, and today we're going to talk about effects of the Word in our life and how to activate the Word in our life. And I think we all, now correct me if I'm wrong, we can talk more later, but I think we all want to know His Word, don't we? We all want to know the Word of God. We all want to know what He says about us. We live in a world where what? 1,000 will fall at our left hand and 10,000 at our right, right? We know that we can be protected from harm. Why? Well, we're going to spend some time talking about it as we talk about the effects of the Word. Now, only you can spend time in the Word, right? I can't do it for you. I can't will you to read. It's up to you to make the choice to read His Word, isn't it? Only you can spend the time that is needed for you to know and understand the Word of God. And I think that too many believers, too many people that go to church have gotten lazy. And they don't spend time in the Word of God. And if that's you, I hope you're offended by that. Because you should want to spend time in the Word of God. And if that offends you, maybe you're like, maybe I've gotten a little lazy in my time of knowing Jesus, and I really don't know what He says about me, and I don't know the truth. So when you read the Word of God is reading you. Did you know that? It's reading you, and the Word of God isn't just a book of principles. It's a book of how to live. It's a book of how to develop the greatest countries in the world. That's what's in the Word of God, isn't it? The Bible shows us how to build great businesses. The Bible shows us how to build great cities and how to have great families. The Bible shows us how to have great health. The Bible shows us about great wealth. The Bible is the most stunning book ever written. It's no wonder it was an all-time bestseller for years and years and years and still is, isn't it? It's an amazing book. But it's not just informative for our minds, because the Word of God, the Bible, is alive. The Bible is God-breathed and God-spoken. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." So you remember how I just said a few moments ago about how the Word of God reads us? That's how it reads us. It's a discerner of our thoughts and intents of our heart. The Bible is discerning us, our thoughts, and the intents of our heart. And as the Spirit of God takes the Word into our life, it is reading us and changing us in the areas that need to be changed so that we can grow closer to Him. We talk about all these things all the time about how we need God to be more evident in our life. We need God to step in and do something. But the fact of the matter is, and I've said this lots to you guys, is God's there. God stepped in. But we need to step in as well, and we need to press in, and we need to allow Him to work and not try to be control freaks like oftentimes we are. Because the Word of God is so powerful. And if we don't have an understanding about how crucial the Word of God is, how can we live our lives knowing in a shallow way how special the Word of God is without fully understanding it, fully spending time, and fully allowing it to develop in our lives? Without allowing the Word of God to fully work in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we read, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So the Word of God is not just instructions alone, right? It's not instructions just for you to follow, but as you begin to meditate, as you begin to study, as you begin to get to know them in a deeper way and spend time in the Word of God effectively starts to work inside of you, amen? And I love how as we spend time in the Word of God, we gain a deeper understanding of the promises of Christ that He has given us and the victory that we already have in Him. Whatever is going on the inside of you begins to affect what's happening on the outside, doesn't it? See, the fact is we can only fake it for so long unless we get changed on the inside, unless we allow the Spirit of God to work on us in the inside, and if we start to truly believe what it says. We can't just tiptoe around this anymore, people. Sounded like my old boss there when I said people. People, we need to do something. We do need to do something, people. We do, right? We need to see His Word alive in us. We need to spend time meditating, spending time in His Word, allowing it to develop in us this faith that He has called us to. But unless we spend time in His Word, unless we spend time getting to know who He is, we're going to miss out. See, God isn't giving you a memory stick. Now, I'm going to sound computer dorky here. That's okay. You all know what a memory stick is, right? God isn't taking a memory stick and giving you an OS and saying, here, plug it in, you're good to go. Now that you're a Christian, you're good. The change happens, but we need to spend time in His Word understanding the instructions for that operating system that He has given us. How to operate, how to function in that operating system He has given us. Do you know what I'm saying when I'm saying operating system? I hope so. If not, I'll explain computer stuff later. But he is as soon as we get saved, He downloads into us this new operating system, but we don't know how to use it and how to function and fully operate it properly according to His Word. All the the hot keys and hot buttons that he's given us that are available in the instruction manual. Am I making sense? Right? We need to spend time in the instruction manual. You need to spend time, you need to meditate, you need to get to know and allow everything that's in that operating system to infiltrate our lives and to take over so that we can effectively utilize all of the features of the operating system to absorb, to connect, to get to know Jesus, the source, the living word. 2 Peter 1, 2-4 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." We've been saying this verse lots lately, but it's so true, and we need to understand, we need to stand on that. "Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have given to us exceedingly great and precious promises." Amen? "That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So when you meditate on God's word and you spend time in it and it begins to read you and diagnose you and give you an understanding of how to operate and function in this new operating system, it brings God's nature into the areas that we need healing, allowing God's nature to dominate our lives rather than the nature which is of the world. We need that nature which is from God, which is crucial to our growth in him. God's word, it changes us. It changes our nature. It changes our emotions. As you read it, as you study it, as you meditate on it, as you spend time in it, it starts changing you from the inside out, doesn't it? God's word, when you spend time in it, I'm going to continue with my computer analogy, but have you ever seen like the little clock thingy that spins? On when you're downloading something, you're trying to install something. As you spend time in it, as you spend time in that word, you know that that clock thing is going to keep spinning because his word is continually working in you. God's word changes our nature, changes our emotions. And as we walk with his word on our tongues, as we walk and spend time in his word, as we meditate on it, we walk in the nature of God more and more. We walk in patience, we walk in faith, we walk in joy, we walk in peace. We walk in ways that no human could possibly do because of a supernatural thing that is happening within you. We get changed supernaturally from the inside out. And as we talked last year about the triumphant church, right? Do you guys remember talking about the triumphant church? If you don't, there's about 5 messages we talked about being the triumphant church. We are a new covenant church, and we are a church who believe and walk in miracles and an expectancy of miracles in our lives, don't we? Don't we? I hope so. What is alive in our spirit, which is Jesus, begins to affect our body. It begins to affect our minds, doesn't it? And as we gain this new understanding and as we continue to allow the operating system to function better and better, as we continue to understand the manual and what we've been called to do and all the things that are available, these things, these emotions, these truths, these promises begin to flow out of our life. Peace and blessings and prosperity become the culture of your home, don't they? They become the culture of your family. Last week I bragged about my family and how we've seen a big change in our household on how we pray as a family. And I don't know if it was yesterday, but I got scolded by my wife because I didn't quite pray that way. And I was so thankful, and I got scolded actually by my kids too. But I was thankful because sometimes we need a reminder, because sometimes we take our eyes off of Jesus. Sometimes we put our eyes on what we think should happen or how maybe there's some sort of attack happening or something. And we take our eyes off of Jesus. We take our eyes off of his promise. And we need to return our eyes and fix our eyes fully on his promises and on his blessings, don't we? See, as I said, peace and blessings and prosperity become the culture of our home, and that needs to stay the culture of our home. Generations after us, after you and I, are affected by what's going on inside of you today. We as believers, we as people, can help shape our future generations, can't we? We can, how we live and how we choose to speak affects them. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23 says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Your spirit man is alive and a brand new man, but God's word begins to purify your soul, which is your thinking, your emotions. The word of God lives and abides forever. It's unkillable, it's unstoppable. The word of God cannot be stopped. Doesn't matter what's going on around us, the word of God is alive and pressing forward. And when you meditate on his word, when you spend time in the word of God, it will abide in you forever. And we're crazy not to spend time in his word, aren't we? We have access to the words of God. Why wouldn't we read them? It does so many things for us. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. See, there are two different ways in which the title, the word of God, is applied. Both the Bible and Jesus Christ are called the word of God. And this brings out the fact that there is a complete identity between Jesus and the Bible. And the Bible is God's written word, and Jesus is God's personal word. And we read about how we need to have this desire for the sincere word of God, just like a baby needing milk. Now, I don't like to remember a baby being hungry and crying, but sometimes we need that reminder. I'm not asking a baby to come up here and cry, don't worry. But have you ever heard a baby who is just needs to be fed? Have you ever heard that cry? And we talked about it in our house, how it was like almost like a coughing cry, right? And it was just like, because it was so deep in them to need to be fed. They just longed for the milk to fill them up. Now here's my baby cry, you ready? Just kidding, I'm not going to do it. But that's how we need to be filled up with the Word of God. We need it from the inside, and we almost need that baby hungry cry, and we just need to be filled with His Word and His promises that are true. We need to spend time meditating and allowing them to fill us up and nurture us and rebuild us and allow us to grow. I'm not really growing anymore. But my kids sure are as they eat. See, they needed to eat a lot, especially the boys. Right? As a baby, they would grow. Sometimes they would almost double in length in a year. Right? Because they needed to be fed. They longed for the milk to fill them up. And I think that's a great imagery for us to understand how as babies would have that nurturing milk, that they would grow and double in size, just like as we spend time, our faith grows, our belief system grows, our knowledge of Jesus grows. And we need to have a huge desire to see it grow in us. We need the Word of God to grow. We need to just stop praying for us to grow, and we need to spend time in His Word to grow. It's easy to pray, God, let me grow into a better Christian. But it's a lot more challenging to spend time in His Word and understand what that means and understand the call that He's put on us, right? 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17 says, and that from childhood you would have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, through equipped for every good work. So if we want to be equipped, we must be equipped by the whole scripture. It will take us all many years, but it is progression. We need to spend time in it. We need to grow in it. We need to spend time growing in the Word and growing stronger in the Word, don't we? And as we spend time growing, we become stronger and we become more of a force, a spiritual force. And we can begin to live as we were called in Psalms 84:7, this beautiful image of going from strength to strength as we grow and we understand and we spend time and we meditate and apply all of God's words and everything that Jesus said, building on his foundations, is hearing and doing the word of God and not just hearing it. And as we hear and do, we grow and we grow in strength, and that's when we go from strength to strength. We need to hear and we need to do. It's easy to hear, isn't it? It's easy to read or to listen, but to allow what you hear in his word to actually change you on the inside, to actually listen and then act on it, that's a big difference. I'm sorry, wearing that mask really dries my mouth out, so I apologize. But as we grow stronger, don't we? We go stronger in relationships, we go stronger in ministry, we go stronger in our faith, we go stronger in understanding his promises, we go stronger in health and body, we go stronger emotionally. We need to spend time hearing and doing God's word and growing stronger. We need to show the authority and the power of God's word, that we need to consider the attitude of Christ, of Jesus, as he put himself towards the Bible. John 10:35 says, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. See, Jesus said, this is as a group of people who were trying to stone Jesus. Jesus said to them, what did he say when they were trying to stone him? And he said, is it not written in your law? See, Jesus believed in the scripture so much, he took the scriptures and he quoted them to these guys that wanted to stone him. He quoted it to the devil when the devil was trying to tempt him, did he not? Do you remember those? Jesus believed in the scriptures so much that he used them. And I think Eve made a mistake when she was in the garden. Because the devil began to put doubts in her mind, didn't he? Track with me on this, okay? I know I jumped back there on you guys, but track with me on this idea. The devil began to speak to Eve. He began to put doubts in her mind about this tree and this apple and this fruit. And what did Eve do? She talked back to him, didn't she? She entertained what he said. She started to listen to the doubts. Eve's mistake was simply trying to deal with the questions of the devil using her own brain, her own intellect, rather than the firmness of what God had said to her. Do we ever try to use our own smarts? Oh, I'm smart enough, I can handle this situation. And try to tackle with our own intellect when Satan or somebody that isn't a believer tries to come and speak to you? Do you try to entertain those and try to use your intellect to try to fight that? When you could just stand on the firmness of what God has said to you. When you begin to do that in your own abilities, the next thing that will happen is you're going to start to maybe disbelieve the Bible because you're using your own brain to try to fight the battle that's not even yours to fight. And then all these attacks against the Bible will come and you're going to lose your faith and you're going to lose what you know is true. So I'm going to tell you to stop talking and listening to those negative thoughts or those negative ideas or those people that are coming at you that don't align to Scripture. Because the Scripture is authoritative, isn't it? Scripture is the Word of God, and we need to accept it, we need to live by it, and we read earlier that the Scripture is the sword, right? So So maybe we need to stab the devil with it. Because he cannot answer the written word of God. Because what did Jesus do? How did Jesus handle the devil coming at him? How did Jesus handle the temptation? He said, "It is written." And then he quoted verses from Deuteronomy, didn't he? The devil didn't argue with him because you can't argue with the point of a sword, can you? When it's coming at you, you have a choice. You can stand there and let it come at you and take it and hurt you. Or you can use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's there for you. Amen? So Jesus said, "It is written." It is written. Why are we not using this in our life? Jesus didn't try to talk with the devil. He didn't try to entertain the thoughts. He didn't try to reason and debate with the devil. Well, actually, Satan, actually Lucifer, you know, he didn't do that. It is written. And he showed you and I how incredible and amazing the word of God is. Three times Jesus said, "It is written," and quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. And you know what? The devil never challenged the Bible because he knows it is uncorruptible word of God. The devil never disputed it because you can't. In fact, what did the devil try to do back? Do you remember? The devil tried to quote back to Jesus from the book of Psalms, actually. Why? Because the devil knows the word of God is powerful. He twisted it, but he tried to use it. When it is spoken out loud and it comes against a temptation or whatever that could be coming at you to get you off track, the temptation to take or own a sickness maybe, the temptation to maybe stay in poverty, the temptation to not walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the temptation to not walk in the joy and blessings of God, God's word needs to rise up. And its sword of the Spirit needs to come out of your mouth. And you need to speak the word of God. In Ephesians 6:17, when we read about the armor of God and we have to put it on, and we put on the helmet, and we put on the breastplate. Every piece of armor is an understanding or revelation of God's word. And when it says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, now the term word... There's actually two words that are predominantly used throughout Scripture for word. And you probably all know this, but I'll just remind you, okay? They're Legos and Rhema. Logos and Rhema. I got excited about building Lego. Logos and Rhema. Logos means revelation of the word, right? And Rhema always means speaking the word. Rhema is the word that is actually used here. The speaking of the word of God. So when you're in a situation, when people are speaking to you, or you're going through life, because we live in a fallen world, you don't need to live in a fallen world. You actually rise above that. Amen? We don't have to, we don't live under the same authority that the world lives under. We live under the authority of God, and He has given us authority to walk on this planet. So in the revelation word coming out of your mouth, as you speak that, it is written, as you go about life, as you go in situation, you know what you can be doing? You can be saying, speaking the word of God, you can be saying, it is written about my family. It is written about my business, or it is written about my farm. It is written about my health, because you can speak these things from His word over your life. Amen? It is written about my children. It is written about my wife. Why? Speak the word over your husbands. Grandparents, speak the word over your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren, whatever you have. Business owners, speak the word of God over your business and over your finances. Heck, all of us speak the word of God over our finances. Maybe it's the first time in your family that name that someone is drawing a line in the sand and saying, enough is enough. You know what? For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It is written. But what are we standing on? I am spitting now. See? That's how fired up and excited I am. My generation on serves God. My generation on is going to serve Jesus. It is written about my family. Enough is enough. Stop owning poverty. Stop owning sickness or disease or lack or whatever it is. And start owning the Word of God and what it is speaking over you. Because it is written. Let's start declaring the Word of God over our life. Now, I want to say something. We're not going to talk about it today or next week or for a while, but if somebody wants to talk about it, I'd gladly talk to you about it. But there's something called cellular memory. Have you ever heard of this? Cellular memory is not just your mind memory, but every cell in your body has a memory. And some of this has to do with things like generational curses that people have spoken over their family. Some of it has to do with things like life that we speak over our family. And we're not going to dive into this because it's a huge topic and it's really deep and not really something to talk about on a Sunday morning. But as we declare the Word of God over our children, it is literally going into every cell of their being. And as these cells grow and they multiply, they spread, and it becomes part of who they are, almost becomes part of their DNA as we speak the Word of God over our kids. And as they continue to grow and the cells divide, because that's what cells do, right? You've all been in biology class. Cells divide and they grow and all that fun stuff. And eventually kids have other kids. And these kids' cells have all divided, and you've spoken the Word of God over their cellular memory. And now they're passing on those cellular pieces into the next generation. And as we speak life over our kids, and as we speak and declare that it is written from Scripture over our family and over these kids, they carry that on for their generation. So I really, truly believe we have an opportunity as a church, as believers, as individuals, to speak life over the next generation. We can break the cycle of whatever the enemy has tried to put in our lives, over whatever the enemy is trying to do to the next generation, or even to our generation in our homes, and we can start to walk and live in the nature of God as He's called us to, according to His Word. We can speak and we can declare the Word of God in our families, our businesses, and our homes. Are you willing to do that? We can speak life and health, wholeness, prosperity over our lives. We can speak every promise of His Word over our lives. Simply by speaking the Word of God. Simply by declaring what is in His Word. Because it's written. It is written, isn't it? It is written. It is written. I'm going to invite the music team up. I didn't give them any warning. Sorry. But we need to start living our life as if we know that His Word is true, and it is written. We need to stop taking on the lies and the deceit from the world, because it is written in His Word, isn't it? His Word is full of truth. His Word is full of life. His Word is full of good things. And if I hear one more time, well, the Lord made me this way, the Lord is making me suffer. No, it is written. Let's speak life. That should be an amen. You want to speak life. You don't want to live in an unprosperous, unfulfilled, unbiblical place. It is written. We've got promises upon promises in His Word. Let's speak them over our lives. Let's speak them over our family. Let's speak them over our kids, our spouses. Guys, we talked about this lots in 2020. about how that word ask isn't just ask, but it's declare. Where it says, when you ask this mountain to move, we declare that these mountains move. So are we declaring as a church? Are we hiding in the corner, waiting for this to go away? I say we start as a church declaring life and speaking the word of God, saying, it is written. Amen? If the Holy Spirit has stirred you today, we're going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus, and we want to invite you to get to know him. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, if something I said today resonated with you and you want to know Jesus in a real way, a live way, like we know him, I'm going to encourage you to repeat this prayer after me. And if you already know Jesus, I'm going to invite you to just repeat these words with us, just so that if there's somebody around you that doesn't know Jesus, they'll feel comfortable as well. We don't want to make somebody feel pointed out yet. And we're going to pray with you, and just all you have to do is repeat after me if you want to accept Jesus. And after we do this prayer, we're gonna close in a final prayer. And if you accepted Jesus for the first time, I'm going to invite you to contact me, connect with me, and I want to talk with you. I want to walk with you. I want to give you a Bible, and I want to connect you to a church. If you're not from Rosetown, a good Bible-based church, wherever you might be. And if you're in Rosetown, we want to get you plugged in here and connected here. So repeat after me if you want to accept Jesus. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, to take the punishment and curse so that I can live free. I can live blessed, and I can live prosperous. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. And from today on, I'm chasing and following you. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now free. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer and you're here, let me know. Otherwise, if you're watching online, call the church, 306-882-2453. 306-882-2453, or email me, message me, whatever you need to do. I need to connect with you. I want to connect with you. And we just pray that you'd be blessed. We're going to continue next week talking about more effects of the word. But I really encourage you this week to start diving in and spending time with him and understanding his word and his promises and applying them to your life and speaking them over your life, declaring them over your life. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you once again for your righteousness through your son Jesus that you've given to us as a free gift. And God, I pray that we would stand on your word and stand in your promises as believers. Father, I pray that as we go out of here this week, that we would spend time in your word and getting to know what you've already spoken about us and already have available to us. And I pray that we would start standing on that as a church, and we would start acting on it, that we would be activated in our life, and that the miraculous would be activated. God, I praise you and thank you for each and every individual watching online and here in church today. Father, I pray that you will just bless them, touch them, Father, and encourage them. God, I pray that they will be empowered to go about the work that you've called each and every one of us to do. Father, I pray that you would just touch us, give us an opportunity to pour into each other this week, God. Give us an opportunity to love each other and give us an opportunity to love our neighbors. Father, we praise you and thank you for this community, God. We pray that you would just bless it. Bless our church, Father. And we praise you and thank you for each person here once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, God bless and have an awesome week.